Narayana namaskritya Narayachava narutamam Devam sarasati vyasam Tato jajamudiraye Nastapaye swabhadresu Nityam bhagavata sivaya Bhagavati Uttamas Loke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtiki Vedirmani Chaiva Purane Bharati Tata Adam Chamade Chahari Savata Giyate Mokam Karati Vachalam Prangu Langati Grim Yakipataham Vandeshi Guru Dinatarine Paramananda Madhava Dhamma Prajita Katabhuta Paramo Nima Shramsata Vedan Bastavam Matavastu Shivadun Tabatayo Molana Shima Bhagavati Mahamani Kitenki Vai Parayishwara Salyurudi Havarudatra Kitipita Kishanan Ningama Kapantalikun Svalun Sukamukha Dravasan Yutan Pivatam Bhagavatam Rasamalaya Mahura Urasika Bhavuka Atoyam Brahma Sutranam Bharatata Veninaya Gayati Basaru Pusho Vidata Paribimita Sabhaviditi Asanam Saram Saram Paribimita Sabhavidanta Sara Hisi Bhakta Mishyate Tarasamita Shati Tasha Nayate Shyarate Kuchi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 9, Chapter 4, Text 29. This is regarding the life of great devotee Ambarish Maharaj. So Ambarish Maharaj was a great Vaishnav who actually gave us an example on how to be a devotee of Krishna by dedicating everything unto the Lord. His life is very, very exemplary. There's a lot we can learn just by reading the life of Ambarish Maharaj. So we read the Sanskrit text first, and then we do the translation of Papa by Srila Prabhupada. Arira Dayishu Krishnam Maisha Tulya Shilaya Yuktaha Samvatsaram Viro Thadara Dvadasi Vrata Arirada Ishu Krishnam Maisha Tulya Shilaya Yukta Samvatsaram Viro Dadara Dadashi Bratam Arirada Yeshu Aspiring to worship Krishna, the Supreme Lord Krishna, Maishya with his queen. Tulya Shilaya, who was equally as qualified as Maharaj Ambarish, Yuktaha, together, Samvatsaram, for 1 year, Viraha, the king, Dadara, accepted Droit de Sri Breton. The vow for observing Ekadasi and Dwadasi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year. Purport. To observe Ekadasi Vrata and Dwadasi Vrata means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Ekadasi Vrata regularly. Maharaj Ambarish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Ambarish to engage his life in household affairs. In this regard, the word Tuya Shilaya is very significant. Unless a wife is equally as qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Chanaka Pandit advises that a person in such a situation should immediately give up household life and become a vanaprastha or sannyasi. Mata yasya gri nasti bhaya chapriya bhadini aranya tena gantabhyan yataranyan tata griham. A person who has no mother at home and whose wife is not agreeable to with him should immediately go away to the forest, because human life is meant for spiritual advancement only. One's wife must be helpful in this endeavor, otherwise there is no need of household life. Gurave Gore Chandaya, Harikayata Dalaya, Krishna Ya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tad Bhaktaya Namo Nama, Agana Trimendasya, Agana Ganan Sadakaya, Chaksusmutan Janatas Mashi Gurave Nama, Nama Mong Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhatale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamit Namine, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine, Nibisisa Sunyavadi Pashta Dishtarine, Vanchaka Bhatribhyascha, Kripa Sindhivaja, Patita nam bhagnavi bhyo vaishnava bhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinde. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Arira Arirada Yishu Krishna Mahishya Tulaya Silaya Tuya Silaya Yukta Sambatsaram Biro Dadaran Dadasi Bhratam. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year. So it's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada wrote towards the end of this purport that if our soul life is not agreeable, then the man should, you know, go to the forest. The man should take sannyas. It's like Srila Prabhupada is trying to recruit as much sannyasi as possible, because we know our soul life is is not that wonderful. So this is the life of Ambarish Maharaj. He was a great devotee of the Lord. And being a great devotee, normally a devotee will do those things that are always favorable to the Lord. It's a Krishnanu Shilanam, that what is favorable for Krishna, which is conducive for spiritual advancement. Observing Ekadasi is practically one of the most fundamental principle for executing Christian consciousness. Because ekadasi is very, very dear to the Lord, to Lord Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the prayer that we often sing on every ekadasi, so he had sung Madhava Titi Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori Krishna Bhaswati Bhaswati Boli Parama Adare Kori. That he said, I observe ekadasi. These are the holy days. Ekadasi and Jamashtami, like that. Because they are the mother of devotion. Then he said, Krishna Bhashati. He said, because Krishna reside within these days of Ekadasi. So therefore, Ekadasi is known as Arivasa. Very, very dear to the Lord. Arivasa. Normally, Ekadasi, of course, it takes place on during the fortnight of the new moon, waning moon, and the rising, when the moon rises and when it goes to the dark. You know, so every fortnight there is Ekadasi. So there was one time there was a demon. His name was Mura demon. So this demon, he wanted to kill the Lord. You can just imagine. You know, the demons, they're always thinking of how to kill that person who cannot be killed. But the demons, they have this mentality, they want to kill the Lord. So this demon, Mura, so he was looking for every opportunity to kill the Lord, you know. But one time, he saw that the Lord was resting. As the Lord was resting, so he decided to go and kill the Lord. So as he was approaching that time, so one energy of the Lord from his nose, one energy came out and killed this demon. Killed this demon, Mura. And then the energy was standing near the Lord was with a fold, with a folded hand. So the Lord opened his eye and he saw this demon, you know, lying down dead. And of course the Lord saw the energy who was standing in front of him with a folded hand. And the Lord asked her who she is, and then she explained herself being the lost energy, and then she had just killed this demon who was trying to cause harassment. So the Lord was very, very happy with this energy, and the Lord said that because you have performed this act on this day, this 11th day of the fortnight of the moon, so therefore your name will be Ekadasi. So your name is Ekadasi. And this day is very, very dear to me. So Ekadasi is such a very dear. So because Ekadasi is very, very dear to the Lord, so anyone who actually observes Ekadasi, then such a person will be awarded devotion, bhakti, unto the Lord. So it's a very, very important day. Actually, in the olden days, Ekadasi Vrata is a very, very strict Vrata. It's not just one day that we fast. It's not just one day. Ekadasi is supposed to be observed over the period of 3 days. The night before the Ekadasi itself, one is required to fast. And then the day of Ekadasi, and then the next day, Dwadasi. So the day of Ekadasi itself, one should fast. And then the next day, one should one should observe Paran. Paran means one takes something a little bit to break that Ekadasi. And then the rest of the day, one has to fast the rest of the day. So therefore, Ekadasi is observed over the period of 3 days, basically. Of course, nowadays, you know, because of the Kali Yuga, people don't have so much of patience, or people don't have so much of determination for this vector. So therefore, accuracy is normally observed in just one day. But actually, just as accuracy day is very, very important, so is equally Dwadasi. As we are reading this verse here, that Dwadasi return, that Maharaj Ambarish, he was observing both Ekadasi and Dwadasi for a whole 1 year. Samvatsaram, for a whole 1 year, he was observing this brata. And just like when Lord Krishna, before Lord Krishna's advent, previous to that, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maya, they were not having children. They were not having issue for a long period of time. And they were advancing in age. So Nanda Maharaj had a conversation with Yashoda Maya that, what should we do so that we can have child? Should we perform sacrifices so they can have children? And then they asked the brahmanas to do nurses, jaga, to do that. But still, despite all kind of sacrifices, still they were not having children. And then Madhya Shira said that maybe because we have not observed Ekadasi, Dwadasi, so therefore let us observe Dwadasi, and if you do that, then the Supreme Lord will be happy, will be pleased upon us. So for 1 year, Madhya Shira and Nanda Maharaj, they observe Dwadasi for a whole year. They observe Ekadasi, they observe Dwadasi. And then, at the end of this period, then Lord Krishna appeared to them, said that, okay, I will come as your child. I will come as your, as your loving child. So in this way, Lord Krishna appeared as the son of Yashoda Maya and Nanda Maharaj. So therefore, Ekadasi is a very, very important observance for the devotees. Just as Maharaj Ambarish was observing Ekadasi for a long period of time, Ekadasi and Dwadasi, so there was a story of a king. This king, his name was Rukmanga and Dhamanga. He had a son by the name of Dhamanga, and his name was Rukmanga. So this king, just as Ambarish Maharaj was observing Ekadasi and Dwadasi very diligently, along with his wife. Similarly, this king was also doing the same thing. So, and this king was such a great devotee of the Lord, he will observe Ekadasi nicely and also Dwadasi. Not just that, because he was such a pious king, on every Ekadasi, before every Ekadasi, he will make announcement to all the citizens that they should also observe Ekadasi. They should also do the same thing. So, because the king was such a pious king, so everyone in the kingdom, they are following the same thing. So the king was observing Ekadasi along with all his subjects. And then, as the king has become older, he decided to retire. He decided to the forest and dedicate his life to meditation and doing rendering service to the Lord. So he gave up his kingdom, his position, and handed it over to his son to rule, to be the new emperor. So the king went to the forest. He went to this forest and was executing his austerities, his everything. But one day, as he was in meditation one day, one young girl came before him. One young teenage girl came before him. And this girl, she was half naked. She was half naked, and then she was picking flowers, like going around picking flowers and all that. A very, very attractive young girl. And then, so the king, he saw this girl and asked her that, who are you? Why have you come to the forest? What are you doing here? So the girl said that, I've been roaming about many, many places. I've been going about all over the world, trying to find someone to marry. But I could not find anybody. I could not find anyone to marry. But I've seen you. Seen you, even though you're an old man, but still your body look very, very young, very, very attractive. You look just like a 16-year-old. So therefore, I would like to marry you. I'd like to marry you. So the king replied, even though I have renounced my kingdom and I've given up household life, I have come here to the forest to perform austerity towards the end of my life. But at the same time, I'm very attracted to you, so therefore I will marry you. So the king said, okay, I'm going to marry you. So the girl replied, he said, well, there's only one condition for you to marry me. The condition is that you have to go back to your kingdom. You have to go back to the city and again take over your kingdom and become the king again in order to be my husband. And the king said, okay, all right, I'll do that. And I will again, but also, whatever I tell you to do, you have to do. If you don't do that, I will divorce you. The king said, okay, no problem. Whatever you ask, I will do. You know, because the king was very, very, you know, somehow, you know, smitten by the lady. So the king, he sent a message to, you know, to his palace, tell his sons that I'm coming back to the kingdom, and I'm coming back to the kingdom with a new wife. So therefore, make proper arrangement. So the son, of course, when he heard this, he was very, very happy. He said, oh, this is wonderful. My father is coming back. He's coming back to the kingdom to assume the throne. And then again, he's coming back with a new wife. This is wonderful. And then he told his mother, he said, mother, father is coming back to the kingdom and he's coming back with a new wife. So therefore, when she comes, you should honor her properly, and you should treat her just like an older sister. You should, you know, like this. So, and the boy's mother, she's also very, very happy. Because this is the life of devotee. Normally devotees, you know, any situation of life that comes to them, they easily accept. This is the life of devotees. A devotee will never protest on anything. So the king, he went back to the palace along with his new wife. So on the entry of the palace, so both his son and his mother, so they welcome the king and his new wife. They even do arti to them. They do arti. Welcome back to the king. They do arti for them, and then honor them very nicely. So in this way, the king was living with his new wife, you know, again ruling the kingdom. Now, the days of Ekadasi comes. So when the Ekadasi day came, so the son, the day before, he made the announcement to all the servants in the kingdom. They said that everyone, tomorrow is Ekadasi, and everyone must observe Ekadasi tomorrow, which is the tradition. It is a tradition that everyone must observe Ekadasi. So, and of course, the king also, yes, of course, yes, everyone must observe Ekadasi. So the new wife, she heard this, she said, what is this? What is this Ekadasi that everyone has to how to observe? The king said, no, this is something that, you know, we all must observe. We all have to observe this Ekadasi. This is something that must be done in order to please Lord Hari. So the wife said, how can you observe Ekadasi? How can you fast? If you fast, you're going to become weak. And how, you know, you're going to become a weak king. How are you going to be, you know, how are you going to execute your duty as a weak person if you fast? So therefore, I forbid this. You cannot observe Ekadasi. The king said, no. He said, I must observe Ekadasi. This is by scriptures, by scriptural rules, accuracy must be observed. Then the wife said, okay, let's call all the brahmanas. Let's hear what the brahmanas say. If the brahmanas say, okay, it's okay for you to observe accuracy, then I will allow you to observe accuracy. If the brahmanas say, no, you don't need to observe accuracy, then I will, then you have to, we have to abide by whatever the brahmanas said. The king said, okay, he said, okay, call all the brahmanas then. So the wife, so she called all the brahmanas, and of course, then the previous day, she had already bribed the brahmanas. She had bribed them already, telling them not to say the right thing. She gave them some good money, you know. Normally in Kali Yuga, the brahmanas are, you know, that's what they do. You give them some money, so they become greedy, you know. So this is what happened. So the brahmanas came to the king, to the palace, and the king asked them that about this ekadasi observance. The brahmanas said, well, you know, actually only the widows can observe ekadasi. Maybe the old persons who are very, very sick, who cannot eat properly, can observe ekadasi, you know. Also, somebody who's about to die can observe accuracy. But the young people who are very strong, they don't need to observe accuracy. And especially you, king, you do not have to observe accuracy. So the brahmanas, they gave their, you know, judgment this way. So the wife says, see, I told you, see, the brahmana have said. The brahmana have said that, you know, you don't have to observe accuracy. So you have to follow them. So the king said, no, no, no. He said, these brahmanas, they're corrupt. They become corrupt. They are very greedy. So therefore, I'm not going to follow them. I must observe ekadasi. So the wife said, okay, then I'm going to leave you. I will leave you then. The king said, okay, if you want to go, you can go. I'm going to observe ekadasi. If you want to leave, you can leave. So hearing this, so she said, okay, I'm leaving. So and then she decided to go. And then as she was going, so the king's wife came and said that, oh, why are you going? Why are you leaving? Why are you leaving, you know, our dear husband? And the new wife said, oh, well, you know, he refused not to observe ekadasi, so therefore I have to leave. And then the old wife, queen, she tried to implore that, look, you know, whatever the king say, we have to try to follow his suggestion, you know. So therefore, if the king said that, let's observe ekadasi, so therefore, let's everyone observe ekadasi. Then this wife said, okay, the only way where I will agree to this is if you and the king, if you kill your son and put his head on a plate and give it to me, then I'll be happy. Then I will agree to that. So when the king heard this, the king said, this woman has gone crazy. So therefore, just leave my palace, just get away. What are you saying? I should kill my son? You know? So just get away from the palace. But his old wife, she said, No. Whatever she said, let's please her. You know, she asked to kill our son. After us, he's gonna die someday anyway. 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, he has to die anyway. So therefore, let's kill him. After all, it's for the good cause. You know? And of course, now, when we hear this, we should not be thinking that, okay, it's okay to kill someone. You know? It's not okay to kill anybody. You know? Normally, sometimes in the Vedic narrations, sometimes we read about the human sacrifice. This kind of thing, this is totally in the mode of ignorance. It's totally in mode. It's totally in Tamagon. It has nothing to do with the, you know, with people who actually advance, you know, in the ultimate goal of life. But this is something you sometimes you find this in the Vedic scriptures. So the wife, you know, actually begging her husband, the old wife, queen, begging the husband that let's do this. After all, this is for the ekadasi. Let's do this. It's for the greater cause. Somehow, she was able to convince the king. The king said, okay, I will agree to it. And then when they informed the son The son was also very happy. He said, "Oh, this is wonderful. I'm going to give up my life because so that my father, the kingdom, can, you know, can observe, can continue observing Ekadasi. And this way also, I'll be able to serve my two mothers." So in this way, the son also was not protesting. He was very happy. So the arrangement was made to kill the son. And just as the king, the king and his old wife, as they were about to kill their son, so immediately this girl transformed herself into a deity. You know, the Lord himself who had actually took the form of a young girl in order to test this king about his vow of performing the Ekadasi. So immediately Kenge became a deity, and Yamaraj came, and Yamaraj informed the king that he just want to test the king about his resolve. You know. So therefore the observance of Ekadasi is the most important in the life of the devotee. It's very, very important. When we say upabhas, because Ekadasi is not just a way just to not to eat some items. It's actually a way to be closer to the Lord. You know, it's like we said that Mara Ambaris, he performed 9 aspects of devotional service, which is Shravana Kirtana, Smaranam Vishnu, Achanam Bandhanam, Sakyan Atmanivedanam, that these are the 9 processes of devotional service which are executed by Ambaris Maharaj. And this because on the day of Ekadasi, because one reduces the demand of the body, you know, so therefore it's much easier to execute this 9 precepts of devotional service, you know, Shravana, Kirtana, Smarana, Paratsevana, you know. So Ekadasi is very, very dear to the Lord. So as mentioned before, that the Ekadasi or observance it must be done rigidly. That it's not that okay, we fast on the Ekadasi. What the fasting means? Yeah, normally we fast from grain. We don't eat non-grain item on the Ekadasi. But normally the advanced devotees, they actually fast completely on the Ekadasi. Most devotees in general, they do like Nija Ekadasi, but they don't even drink water until the next day. This is the best way to actually observe Ekadasi. And now for those who cannot do that, then they can eat, you know, some fruits. Or if eating fruit is not enough, you can drink some milk, or, you know, it's just very light items. Ekadasi does not mean that now, today's Ekadasi, so therefore I can eat goranga potato today. Today I can eat goranga potato. I can eat Ekadasi pizza, Ekadasi cake. No, that is not observing the Ekadasi. That is another form of sin gratification. Ekadasi means to reduce to the bare minimum the demand of the soul. Actually, you will see, if you actually do that, you will see how much improvement you make in your devotional service. You will see that. You know? This is based on personal experience. You know, instead of worrying, okay, today's Ekadasi, especially sometimes when you are traveling, so many of us sometimes we travel to some foreign countries. You know, if you're traveling, you're preaching. And Ekadasi come, you start worrying, okay, what am I going to eat today? Today's Ekadasi, because everything is mostly grain anyway. What to eat today? You start worrying. But if you have a reserve that on Ekadasi, I'm going to fast and simply read my book, do more chanting, you find yourself be very, very happy. Because you don't have to worry about what the body needs. Okay? So, this verse is mentioned here that Marajambaris, he performed his spiritual activities along with his wife, who was equally qualified. This is very, very interesting. That Ambarish Maharaj's wife was, as Prabhupada said, that Ambarish queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Ambarish to engage his life in household affairs. So in this regard, the word Tuya Shilayang is very significant, that unless a wife is as equally as qualified as their husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. So this basically is saying how both the husband and wife, they have to be on the same page. They have to be on the same page in executing household life. Because if husband and wife are on the same page, then spiritual life is easier to perform. Spiritual life is become easier to execute. Whereas if the wife have a particular idea and the husband have a different ideas, things become very, very difficult. Many of us who are householders, we know that. You see, this is an experience. Any householders will agree with me with this statement of the Bhagavatam. The husband and wife, they must be on the same page in order to execute their Krishna consciousness. If they are not, then become difficult. It become difficult to execute. So therefore, Prabhupada said that if one is in such a situation, then it's better for the man to take sannyas, or at least take vanaprast, which means become retired from family life. Otherwise, as they say here, that mata yasa gre nasti baya chapriya bhadni aranya tena gantabhyan yataranya tatagriham. A person who has no mother or at home and whose wife is not agreeable with him should immediately go away to the forest. This is what the scripture is saying. So it's very, very important that both husband and wife, they're on the same page. They should not have, even though they may be having a spiritual discipline, both of them are spiritually, very spiritual life, but still, the mentality should be the same. And that's sometimes, it is just, you know, some kind of a social comment. Sometimes we find that, okay, we have husband and wife, one is, and they both have different gurus. So husband and wife have different gurus. The husband is getting particular instruction from the guru, his guru, and the wife getting another instruction from her guru. And then we have a clash. Say, oh, my guru says something. Husband says, my guru says another thing. What happened? It becomes difficult. There's quarreling. Even though both of them may be part of the spiritual life, but the wife has different idea based on what is getting from her particular, guru, and the husband also have different idea. So therefore, it's very important that husband and wife must be on the same page in order for spiritual life to be properly executed. So there is very, very interesting incident. So one time, Lord Krishna, here in Satyabhama, they went to the Pandavas in the forest. There was the time when the Pandavas, when they were living in the forest, after they were exiled from their kingdom. So both Krishna and Satyabhama, they went to the forest. This is narration from Mahabharata. And in the forest, there was a lot of conversation going on. That time, Markandeya Rishi was there, and he was narrating different stories to the Pandavas. So, Satyabhama and Draupadi, they enter into a conversation. They were discussing among each other. And then Satyabhama asked Draupadi that, hey, Draupadi, I see that, you're able to keep your husband under control, because Draupadi was married to 5 husbands, So I see, they say that, you're able to keep your 5 husbands under control. How is that? How do you manage to do that? Do you have some mystic perfections? Do you have some mystic power? Or is it because of your youthful beauty, Or maybe the way you dress? Or is it something that you've done in your previous life that makes your husband so devoted to you? Tell me the secret. So that, because I want to put Krishna under my control. Because, Satyabhama, she's one of Krishna's principal queens, and she always like to, you know, make herself very, very dear to Krishna. There are many, many, many stories of her. Sometimes she has not the money that I want Krishna to be, you know, I want Krishna to see me as his dearmost wife. So therefore, tell me what to do. Give me some secret. Give me some what I should do so that I can meet Krishna. I can be Krishna's most dear wife. So this is a very interesting story. This can be reserved for another class. But this particular situation, so she has Draupadi this way, that what is her secret? How the Pandavas were always, you know, looking after her like that. So when Draupadi, when she heard this from Satyabhama, she was a little bit, you know, angry that how could Satyabhama ask me this question? Especially, how can you have your husband under control? So then she said that, you know, this kind of question is not good, you know. And she said that you should know that men can never be made truly obedient by such means. So which means you cannot use any form of deceit to control the men. You cannot do that. She said, my secret is this. I have given up all sense of false pride as well as personal desires for sense gratification. I carefully control my anger and I always serve my husband with great care and devotion. Indeed, I restrain my senses so carefully that I do not allow even a glance to betray the slightest bit of emotion. So which means she will never allow herself to show any form of anger to her husband. And she said, I never think of bathing, eating, or sleeping until my husbands, her servants, have done so, and I'm ready to rise up quickly at any hour to personally greet my husbands when they return home. I always endeavor to do just that, which is agreeable to them, and I discharge my various duties cheerfully and without lethargy. I always serve my superiors, and I never speak of them disrespectfully. Most of all, I'm very, very careful to always wait upon my mother-in-law, Kunti, with the utmost respect and attention. And she's saying she's saying, so my dear queen, a woman can captivate the mind of her husband, thus drawing it away from anyone else in a way that is devoid of deceit. To do so, a wife must first consider her husband to be her God. After all, it is he alone who can fulfill her desires for children, clothing, and all other things for a comfortable and enjoyable life. By always adoring her husband and promptly serving him with whatever desire he requires, a wife makes him feel that she really loves him. When a husband orders a maidservant to do something, a wife should do it herself. Whatever a man says to his wife in confidence should never be repeated to others. If a man hears something, someone repeat what he has confidentially told his wife, he suddenly becomes irritated. A woman should consider all persons who are hostile to her husband to be personal non grata. She should never allow herself to be seen enjoying the company of other men, even to the extent of speaking privately with her sons. Also, a good wife should shun the company of other women who are not of very good character. So in this way, Draupadi, she was given this various instruction, you know, this various advice to Satyabhama. And of course, she was kind of little bit chastised Satyabhama that it's not a good idea that a wife would think of controlling the husband. So, and of course, this is Kali Yuga. Things are very, very difficult. You know, it's difficult to find chastity nowadays. So therefore, as they say, you know, Kali Yuga is such an age whereby humanity have completely devoid of all kinds of good quality. You know, Kali, you know, as they say, Kali de Sanade Rajan, you know, that in the age of Kali, there's just no good quality. You know, whereby all kind of argument is there in the household life. So therefore, we find men often take 10 years. You know, because, you know, household life is no more agreeable. It's just very difficult. This is the age of Kali. And of course, we have to do the best, you know. We have to, as they say, bad bargain, how to take the best out of bad bargain, you know, as they say. So in this way, the life of Ambarish is continually being narrated here. So the life of Ambarish here, whereby he was such a highly qualified person, and not just he, also his whole family. They are very highly qualified, especially in respect to executing their various various duties. So and because of this, Ambarish became so powerful that even when the great Brahmana Devasmani came, who was actually an incarnation of Lord Shiva, when he came, he tried to cause Ambarish Maharaj. He was unable to do that because he was such a powerful devotee. He was a powerful devotee. Why he was such a powerful devotee? Because if the Lord himself, he said, "My dear Ambarish, I'm going to put my Sudarshan chakra at your side, and this Sudarshan chakra will always protect you." The Lord himself places Sudarshan chakra by the side of Ambarish to always give him protection. Because why? Because Ambarish was such a great devotee of the Lord. So I'm going to stop here. If there's any comments or question, you can, you know. So we are reading a very great chapter. This chapter and the next chapter, you know, it's very, very sweet. These two chapters are very, very wonderful chapters. About the life of Ambarish and how the Vasmani came to try to chastise Ambarish Maharaj. So any comments or questions? Anybody? Want to ask a question? Why you raising your hand? Okay. You want to ask a question? 1 second. Okay. Okay, speak to the mic.
They observed only Dwadashi.
No, I observe both Ekadasi and Dwadashi. Both. Ekadasi and Dwadashi, observing both of them, not just Dwadashi. Normally, as I mentioned at the beginning of the class, there are 3 days of observing Ekadasi. The night before, one should fast the night before. Then the day of Ekadasi itself, one should fast. And then the next day, after breaking your Ekadasi with Paran, then you should fast the rest of the day. So this is the way that is done in the old Vedic times. Okay, but we don't have to do that. We should just observe Ekadasi on the Ekadasi day. Okay. Thank you very much. Grant Rashmi Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopi Manande, Hare Krishna.